you know, a lot of people are saying, wow, this actually makes sense. And it makes sense because, you know, the rest of America is hurting, you know, and cutting jobs and looking for things. You know, government needs to do that as well. Partnerships certainly, and certainly I am not saying that, no, we shouldn't do that. But I think, you know, to simply say we need to put a freeze on jobs, and you said there are a lot of exceptions, and it's important to actually look at the detail of what the exceptions are. But frankly, even looking at all of those exceptions, don't simply put a freeze on new hiring. Take a look at, you have to take a real strategic look at this and say, what's the right size of the federal workforce in agencies? Some agencies may, in fact, have too many people right now, and they're actually not affected by the freeze. Other people may be, you know, maybe in a different situation. So let's not simply come out and say we're going to put a freeze on all hiring, all federal hiring. Let's look at this really strategically and say, where do we need more people? Where do we need less people? And make those decisions based on really fact and need, not simply across the board.
Well, and it struck me when I first heard about this. And this isn't about politics, by the way, because both sides have done this in equal measures. They just take a machete and they just chop. Instead of what we need is maybe a scalpel and say, hold on, do we have the right people in the right place at the right time, and empower your managers to make those decisions instead of, and what we always end up doing is tying their hands so they can't make decisions.
Chris, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, as we look at this again, I don't think, you know, you won't get a lot of argument out of many people saying this shouldn't be looked at. But let's look at it, as you said, with a scalpel. So across the board, hiring freeze is the easiest thing to do. You just say, okay, you know what? Nobody's hiring. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have uneven capacity with agencies. You're going to certainly, in some instances, diminish government's performance. And, you know, ultimately, by diminishing performance, you're setting yourself up for missteps along the road that are, in fact, going to have some fairly substantial consequences for further eroding public trust in government too. So, you know, as a quick example, you know, let's look at the Deepwater Horizon explosion back in April. At the time, there were 60 inspectors to cover 4,000 facilities in the region. You know, so suddenly you put a hiring freeze and you say, you know what, we're not adding anybody else. Well, let's look at where the need is there. Do we really want another 1, 2, 5, 10, 12 two dozen, whatever the number is, of, you know, the oil explosions in the Gulf that we had to deal with? And let's look at what the financial implications of that was for not having enough of the right people and good people in those positions to really do what they needed to do.
Well, I remember back in the 90s when the Clinton administration made a big deal of, look, we've shrunk the size of the federal workforce. Largely what they did, most of those people were procurement workers, and we're still paying for the ramifications of, again, using that hatchet rather than saying, hold on, where do we get the most bang for our buck? Where do we need people? Where are people? Let's have the right people in the right place who doing the right jobs. That seems to be the question that we don't often ask.
That's the essential piece of the question. You know, it's not about size of government; it's about effectiveness of government. And when we start talking about size of government in hiring freeze terms, again, you know, you've got to take a much more individualized look at it than just say the 2.1 civilian federal employees,
right,
excluding Postal Service. And let's just put a freeze on that. That's actually not an effective way. I think the other interesting thing that you brought up.
It seems similar to what part of the pledge is to go back to what 1988 levels of federal spending. Again, hold on. Is that the right amount of spending at that time? Again, it seems like taking an easy, a cookie cutter approach to what are really difficult issues, and my frustration always is we don't talk about those.
And what are needs now versus what were needs, you know, back in 1988? What are needs now versus what were the needs back in 1964? There was actually a great little graphic in the Washington Post today that actually showed a number of civilian federal employees over time, starting in the mid 60s and working up to 2010, and basically the U.S. population has increased from just under 190 million people back in the mid-60s to more than 300 million people today, yet the size of the federal workforce is basically the exact same thing that it was then.
Yeah. Two issues along that line. It seems like, now, if I'm a Fed, and if I'm in public service in some form or fashion, and I hear all this discussion going on, I've heard constant discussions about my salary, about my pension, about all those things. It seems like, once again, Feds ending up, public servants ending up being, sounds a little scapegoaty to me, to be
honest. Yeah, you're not feeling real good about going to work every day either. Right. So, yeah, and that's really where, you know, again, if this isn't done with a scalpel, if this is simply done, as you said before, with a machete or, you know, a chainsaw,
hatchet, right.
and not with a scalpel, ultimately, you know, we are going to have some issues that are going to further, you know, that are going to cause problems further down the road again, and only further erode what already is at historic levels of low trust in government.
Yeah. So when it seems like there's a real the discussion that can be had is, and I know everyone gets all queasy over it, but what role does government play? Is government, should government be doing this, that, the other? That seems like a real discussion that one could have and could actually be very valuable.
Absolutely, and that conversation will actually then lead you to the,
right.
Are there places for us to cut? Where does it make sense not to cut, but in fact to add employees, to add capacity to what we're trying to do in order to really make a measurable impact?
One other question along these lines, because Senator Voinovich was at the DHS hearing yesterday and just really spoke eloquently about the importance of management and public servants doing management. And talk about somebody who has just almost dedicated his entire career to the importance of good management and good government. Again, it's not a Republican-Democrat thing, but this seems like part of that. Allow your managers to manage.
Huge champion for federal public service, for public service in general. I think federal workers, the federal government as a whole, is actually losing a very valuable champion who gets the importance of good people in government and the need for good management in government as well. And not surprised that he had a very eloquent speech at DHS. And again, I think, you know, as he exits the Senate, some really big shoes to fill on the Senate side. Who's going to carry that mantle for the federal worker, and who's really going to be looking much more deeply at not the easy fix, but the fix that's actually going to take some time. It's going to take some pain, but it really is about management and leadership.
I wanted to jump back briefly to I keep calling it Contract for America, and it's not pledge. We talked to folks over at Politico who say, particularly the job freezing, probably not going to happen in an economic recession where Feds, at least right now, are Feds really one of the few places where people are hiring. But that seems almost beyond the point in that it's this atmosphere that it creates.
Really is. It really is the atmosphere. And again, you pointed out, pointed to it earlier, Chris, is, you know, if some of these things that you're freezing are done well by government or done by government right now, then, you know, as American citizens, what does that mean for us? What is the quality and effectiveness of the government? And again, it gets back to the question of what should government be doing? What shouldn't they be doing? But ultimately, if you're saying we're doing this, we're doing it with less people. The Veterans Administration, for instance, has actually done some great work in terms of hiring a lot of new people to process claims and to deal with vets coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. Put a freeze on those, and they may not be affected by it. But what does that mean again for the benefits and the services that are being provided to those in the military? Again, huge quality issue that may begin to lapse. And as you said as well, you know, is this something that government ends up paying more for because they contract with? And you made the reference to acquisition folks during the Clinton administration. You don't bring acquisition folks into government. That contracting work still needs to be done, and in fact needs to be done at a higher level because we're contracting more. Who's going to do that? Well, are you then contracting that out to private sector folks? And, you know, yes, there's a need for
either contracting out, or we just put more work on the fewer people doing bigger projects, and so nothing against the workers, they just didn't have time to do it as well.
Right.
It's just there are a smart way and to do this, and this just doesn't seem very smart.
Yeah,
to
and
me.
Again, the smart way is really taking not a holistic approach across a very large, very complex organization like the federal government, but looking at it piece by piece and saying, what do we need here, and what's the right solution here? And I think. The Pledge to America at this point, as you said, started this off, said there are a lot of exceptions to it. So some of those may have been, some of that thought process may have already been given, but I'm less confident that it was a thought process and more of a, where do we just think that additional work needs to be done based on where we are, and therefore let's not have this apply to national security and defense organizations. I think there are a lot of other organizations out there that probably don't fit into either one of those that this maybe should be looked at. And even within some of those organizations, again, without getting that scalpel out, it's hard to say whether or not, those should or shouldn't be frozen.